Amen. We'll just bow together once more before the Lord. Aye. Father, we draw nigh into your presence. What a mercy it is. Remember that Abraham spoke of those who are but dust and ashes, been able to draw nigh to thee. And Lord, we thank you for the matchless privilege that you've given to us. We ask that you would encourage us on today a little further with thyself. Remember this one of whom we have read, and the scriptures tell us that he walked with God. And Lord, we cry that that would be our testimony and our experience too. Draw us just that little closer to thyself today. Thank you for your goodness to us as a congregation. Thank you for tokens for good, for prayer that has been answered. Lord, we ask that you'll lead this church on with yourself in days to come. We pray that we'll bear mighty influence for God, not just in this city, but in this county, even across this province. And Lord, we are mindful of our missionaries today and thankful that we have an opportunity as a church to bear influence even to the very ends of the earth. Lord, remember our missionaries, those that are absent from home and loved ones, even at this special and holiday time. Pray that they particularly would know your nearness. Thank you that you've promised that when we go forth into all the world to preach the gospel, that you've assured us that you're with us always. And we ask that they would know a very special sense of your presence today. We ask thee to draw near to the Redmond family. Remember Cameron. Think of his father Joe too. Just this whole family circle. Pray, Father, that you'd comfort their hearts even as they've passed through the valley of the shadow during this past week. We thank you that you've promised that even then that you're with us. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to their hearts with good words and with comfortable. Lord, hear these are prayers, and we pray for the blessing of God to attend to the preaching. Give liberty today, grant us utterance, as Paul prayed, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Hear these are prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen. Genesis 5, please, the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis. And verses 22, 23, 24. Maybe we should read 21 as well, just to help give us a little bit of the connection. Verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Think of those words at the beginning of that 22nd verse particularly. Enoch walked with God. We're going to think of the greatest walk in life, in the springtime, the summertime especially of the year. Many people enjoy going walking, and especially as the good weather comes and the sun shines, it's nice to get out of the house after the long winter months, get into the fresh air, enjoy the long days, the countryside, and if the opportunity affords it, down by the seaside as well. A walk helps the health, helps the fitness. We've looked and dealt a little with those things earlier in the year. It maybe helps you lose a wee bit of weight as well, if you have that difficulty or that problem. But isn't it true you often see people step it out up the side of the road? It lets you get out so that you've time to think, time to ponder some of the situations and circumstances of life that confront you. The reality is, people enjoy walking. And maybe you're one of those such people. Remember as you think of those things, and remember even as you engage and enjoy your walks this spring and summertime, remember that in the scriptures, the Christian life is described as a walk. There are several scriptures that speak of it in that way. For example, in the book of Galatians, we're exhorted to walk in the Spirit. Remember Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and he said we're to walk worthy of the Lord. What a solemn challenge both of those texts bring to our heart. But they remind us the Christian life is like a walk. And the reality, brethren and sisters, is that Enoch's life is a great example of that truth. Probably the greatest example that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. It's interesting, there's only 8 verses in all the book of God that speak about this man Enoch. There's not much said, not much recorded. There's not much that we're told about him, even in the inspired record. But what is emphasized, what is stressed, what is highlighted is this, that Enoch was a walker. And his life was marked especially by his walk with God. And I wonder, men and women, brethren and sisters, is that true of you today? Your life might be marked by walking. As we've mentioned already, you may be one of those that enjoy a good walk. But is your life marked as Enoch's was? Is it marked by your walk with the Lord? That's what we want to think about. We want to look at the walk that Enoch had, and we want to think of what should mark the life of a Christian, especially what should mark the life of a good walk as we walk as Enoch did with the Lord himself. I want you to notice, first of all, that the marks of a good walk, one is progress. When you walk, you're making progress. You're not standing still, not staying in the same place. You're going somewhere. You're moving. You're advancing. And remember, that's what Enoch did. Enoch was a man that advanced. He went forward with the Lord himself. And I want to stress, so it should be with every child of God in the Christian life. Brethren and sisters, can I say to you this morning, you should be making progress as a Christian. And I wonder, is that so? If you take time this morning, Easter Sunday, to ponder your own life, your own spiritual condition, look back a year, in this case it's slightly over a year to last Easter, think of where you were with the Lord then, and compare with where you are with the Lord today. Can you say you've made progress? Can you say that you've advanced in the things of God? As a Christian, you ought not to mark time. Think of soldiers out in the parade ground, marking time. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of movement. Movement of the arms and the legs and so on. But they're not going anywhere. And that's just like many Christians. A lot of noise in their life. A lot of activity. But there's no movement. They're not going on with God. Mr. Sunday, the American evangelist, he portrayed the same idea under a different image of a canary in a cage. The canary's in the cage flapping its wings. There's a lot of noise in the cage and all the flapping and the movement. And yet the canary's not going anywhere. Still in the cage. Is that true of you today? Marking time as a Christian. Remember as well, you ought not to go back. There ought not to be the losing of ground. The world record, it's very interesting, I read it some time ago, the world record for walking backwards. It's nearly as if there's a world record for everything, isn't there? That people will do the most ridiculous things just to get in the Guinness Book of Records. Well, there's a world record for walking backwards. 95.4 miles. And the record is held by a man called Anthony Thornton, or it was at the time I read the article. Anyway, I wonder, my friend, is that just a picture of you? Some Christians are going backwards. They're not going forward, not making progress. And the sad thing is, they've been going back for years. I pray the Lord may challenge you about that today. Brethren and sisters, as a child of God, you must go forward in the things of God. Is that true of your life today? Are you going on as a Christian? You know, the old Puritans, they used to keep a journal. The journal is a wee bit different from a diary. In a journal, you write sort of the thoughts of your heart. And then their journals, they would try to assess their walk with God. The time they gave the Bible reading, time they gave the prayer, their own thoughts about their spiritual condition from day to day and week to week, and every year they would compare those things. It's an opportunity just to assess your spiritual condition. But there needs to be progress, brethren and sisters. And that's something that's encouraged in the Bible. Peter said we're to grow in grace. You think of a child been born, if after a few weeks and months there was no growth, you would get a little worried about that child, growing old but not growing up. Well, there's many Christians like that. They've grown old. It's many years from they're saved, but they've never developed. They've never matured. There's to be growth, brethren and sisters. Peter as well in his epistle said that you're to add to your faith, trust in Christ and experience in his salvation. What a blessing that is. And I pray that you have experienced that blessing. But that's not all there is in the Christian life. That's only the beginning. There's to be an adding. There's to be a going on. Can I ask you to think, brethren and sisters, of that question? Are you advancing as a Christian? Are you advancing spiritually, day by day? Is there progress for the Lord that can be seen in your life? So a good walk is marked by progress. A good walk as well is marked by the pace. Isn't it true there are various paces that you can walk at? You can be casual. You can go for a stroll. You can walk at a brisk rate. Some people almost run. Others go like a snail. Different people walk at a different pace. Often the pace is determined by the leader, the one who's leading the way and setting the pace. In Enoch's case, the leader was the Lord, because the text says that Enoch walked with the Lord. It wasn't the other way about. It wasn't the Lord that walked with Enoch. It says that Enoch walked with the Lord. The Lord was leading. The Lord was setting the pace. And Enoch must keep in step with the Lord. And it's the same for us, brethren and sisters. If your Christian life is to be right, then you must keep at God's pace. You must keep in step with him. Can two walk together except they be agreed, is the exhortation of the prophet Amos. Whenever you're walking, sometimes you can walk too slow. You're indifferent. You're taken up with other things. You're not putting in the effort. And if you walk too slow, the result is you get left behind. Is that your condition today, child of God? You've got left behind. The Lord's going on, but you're not. Maybe you'd have to admit today you're a backslider. You're following the Lord still, but like Peter, you're following afar off. You're not walking with the Lord. You're not walking at the same pace as the Lord. And how sad that is. Whenever you're walking as well as going too slow, you can go too fast. Get overzealous in a big hurry. And that means you can go on without others. And the reality is, you can go on without the Lord. Not in God's time. How sad that is too, going on without the Lord. Isn't that what happened to Mary and Joseph when they were down in Jerusalem for the feast? And they left Jerusalem and they left the Lord behind. And I wonder, does that sum up your life at this time? You've been going on in the journey, going on in the journey of life. In Mary and Joseph's case, it was a day before they realized they'd left the Lord behind, but maybe for you it's been many days, and the Lord has been left behind. You've been rushing on. You know what the message is, men and women? You need to take your time. You need to wait on the Lord. The exhortation of the book of Hebrews is, you have need of patience. You must keep at God's pace. You need to be in step with Him. You know how you maintain that? You maintain it by your quiet time. That's vital. The importance of it could not be overstressed to your heart today. How vital that quiet time is. That's how you maintain your fellowship. That's how you stay close to the Lord. That's how you stay in step with Him, brethren and sisters. The pace. I think as well, another mark of a good walk is the persistence. A walk has the idea of steady progress. And that's what Enoch made. Steady progress with the Lord. If you look at that 22nd verse, it says Enoch walked. That is, it's in the continuous tense. It was an ongoing thing. Enoch walked with the Lord. And I want you to understand that Enoch's walk was persistent. It was continual. It was something that just didn't last for a day or two. The reality is, men and women, it lasted for 300 years. Look at what the text says. Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. What a walk this was, brethren and sisters. It began when he was 65, the time of the birth of his son. God spoke to him. God met him. What a change that made in his life. What a change that made for Enoch as far as the things of God were concerned. And from that day onward, from the time he was 65 to the Lord took him home, his walk was unbroken with the Lord. What a record. What a testimony that is, men and women. I wonder if many of us in the meeting this morning could say, from the day that we were saved, we've had unbroken fellowship, an unbroken walk with the Lord. Here's a man in all those 300 years, three centuries that passed, and he was never out of fellowship with the Lord. If you want to put that 300 years into days, it's something like 109,500 days that this man walked with God. He was persistent. He made steady progress onward with the Lord. He wasn't one of those Christians that was up and down, hot and cold. Wasn't walking with God one day and then away out with the world the next. Wasn't in the heights of piety one minute and then down in the depths of sin the next moment. He wasn't a man that ran for a while and then sat down and went nowhere. No, Enoch was a man that every day of the Christian life, he pressed on with God. And I want you to see that he was persistent in that walk despite the times in which he lived. We make excuses for the days in which we live. Cold days, dark days, days of apathy. We'll remember that he lived in evil days. He lived in the days that preceded the flood. The Bible tells us those days are coming again upon the earth, in the days that precede the return of the Saviour. Enoch lived in the worst of times, and still he had that persistent walk with God. I want you to see as well, he was persistent in his walk despite the family life. There's not another excuse we make why we can't be faithful, why we can't be there, why we can't do the things for, in the service of Christ and be present when all the activities of the church are going on. It's the pressures of the family life. Well, it says Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. There's the birth of his first child, his firstborn son. And then it goes on to tell you then, and he begat sons and daughters. He knew all about the pressures. He knew all about the demands. He knew all about the difficulties of family life. He had all of those burdens that every one of us experience every day, but yet he walked with God. He had a persistent, continual walk, brethren and sisters. Can I put the question to you today? Do you have this walk every day? Every day you're going on. Every day you continue in the things of God. What a challenge this man's life is to our hearts today. You know, it's worth reminding you, stressing the point, the world, as they look on at the Christian, the church, the world is turned away. Or if you want to put it, the world is turned off by the inconsistencies in the walk of the child of God. We often wonder why they never come to the house of God, why they've no interest. When we talk to them about the Lord, is it this inconsistency, the lack of persistence, the lack of a continual, faithful walk with God every day we live? I want you to see as well, another mark is the presence. Isn't it true that people often walk with others? They have friends, family, neighbours that they meet up and go for a walk with. Well, remember that Enoch didn't walk on his own. Enoch walked in the best of company because Enoch walked with God. The Lord was present with him. What a blessing that is, men and women. Did you know there's only two people in the Bible, only two men in all the scriptures that have this testimony that they walked with God? One is Enoch, and the other is Noah, that we read off at the end of the chapter. Enoch knew the Lord's presence. Everywhere that he went, the Lord was with him. What a mercy that is. That, brethren and sisters, just to stress it to you, that's one of the fruits, one of the results of a continual walk with the Lord. If you walk with him every day persistently, then there'll never be a day, there'll never be a time that you'll not know the presence of the Lord. Because if you're walking with him at the right pace, if you're in step with God, he'll always be at your side. And remember, to have Christ with you, to know his presence every day and in every circumstances, is not heaven begun below? What is heaven, men and women? It's to be with Christ. He said that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, that's a little description of heaven. I wonder, are you going to heaven? Can I press that upon the hearts of those without Christ? But remember, you don't have to wait until you die to experience heaven. The Bible talks about days of heaven upon the earth. You can have days of heaven if you walk with God, if you're in step with him. And remember, if the Lord's with you, that means you'll never be alone. You'll always have his company. There'll never be a day of your life, no matter who else leaves you or forsakes you, there'll never be a day of your life that you'll have to say you're alone, because you know the Lord is there. And if you walk with him, that means that you'll always be safe, because the Lord's there to protect. He's there to watch over his people, and he will never allow any harm to come to you. One other thing I want to mention about a good walk, and especially the walk of Enoch, and that is that it was pleasing. In the book of Hebrews, it says of Enoch, and could I encourage you to take the time to find the other verses that mention this man? We have read some of them this morning. I've mentioned there's only eight in all the Bible. You take the time to find the others, to record them. In the book of Hebrews, it says that before his translation was that time when he was caught up to heaven. Remember, the Bible tells us there's only two men that didn't die. One of the questions even the little children downstairs in the children's church could answer. Two men that didn't die. Enoch and Elijah. His translation was that time when he was caught up. But before his translation, while he was here on earth, here was his testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony that is. Heaven's smile was on his life. His walk may not have pleased the world. Remember, he lived in a very wicked world. The way he lived, the way he walked, may not have pleased his neighbors and those around him. But here's something that was certain, men and women. His life and his walk, it pleased the Lord. Isn't it encouraging today to know that you can please the Lord? You will know by experience there's some people you could never please, regardless of how hard you try and whatever you do. But here's something to encourage your heart this morning. You can please the Lord. This is not something that's out of the question. Not something that's out of reach. It's not something that's unattainable to you as a child of God. It's possible for you, as Enoch did, to be able to please the Lord. And the question is, are you doing that? Is your life this morning pleasing in His sight? If you walk in the ways of the Lord, then you will please Him. But remember, if you walk in the ways of the world, or if you walk in your own ways, the ways of the flesh, then your life will not be pleasing in His sight. Just think of that question. Is your life, your walk, is it pleasing to the Lord today? Bishop Taylor Smith, I've mentioned him to you. He was a very well-known evangelical bishop in the Church of England. He was one of the key speakers at the Great Keswick Convention for many years. He was Bishop of Sierra Leone in West Africa. He was a chaplain to the British royal family. Very well known, very prominent. He would like to challenge people with very candid questions. For example, if he was at the seaside, maybe having a swim, some of the Bible conferences, he would pop his head up above the water and whoever was beside him, he would ask them this question. What did the Lord say to your heart this morning? Maybe that poor soul had been in such a hurry they hadn't taken time with the Lord that day. But that's the message he wanted to drive home to their heart. The importance of taking time with the Lord so that you do get a word from His mouth. But another question that he liked to ask people was this. Do you have the testimony? People would sometimes look at him in amazement, a wee bit unsure about what he was referring to. And then he would go a little further and he would add to it and say, do you have the testimony that Enoch had before his translation, that he pleased God? Can I put that question to the meeting this morning, to every believer here? Do you have the testimony? Do you have the testimony that this man Enoch had before his translation, that he pleased God? Here's a testimony you need to strive for, brethren and sisters. Your desire, your motivation as you live every day is not to please your friends and not to please the world. Your motivation every day you live the Christian life ought ever to be to please Him who hath chosen you to be a soldier, to use Paul's words as he wrote to Timothy. You ask today, how do you please Him? Well, you please Him by faith. Doesn't the book of Hebrews say that without faith it is impossible to please Him? It's by a life of faith, brethren and sisters, that you please the Lord. Not by some great deeds, not by some extraordinary gift or talent. It's by faith. And what that means is there's an encouragement for every brother and sister here this morning. here's something that is attainable to us all. We can all live the life of faith. You began your walk with God by faith. That's how you're saved. And can I stress, if you want to be like Enoch was when he was 65, you want to begin the walk with the Lord, here's how you do it. You need to put your trust completely in Christ today for your salvation. That's how the walk begins. But remember that it doesn't just begin by faith. The walk continues by faith as well. For the Bible clearly teaches we're to walk by faith and not by sight. What that means is you're to trust the Lord every day. Doesn't matter how dark, how bleak, the way may seem, how uncertain the times, how uncertain the circumstances. We're to trust the Lord even when it looks as if things aren't going to work out the way that we would like them or the way that we would want them. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. His testimony was pleasing, or his walk was pleasing to the Lord. Just in conclusion, let me mention this to you. It says of Enoch, he was not found. After his translation, some like to put it, some of you will have heard Mr. Paisley putting the details across in this way, that Enoch and the Lord went walking, and they went walking so often, and one day they walked so far that the Lord said to Enoch, Enoch, it's too far for you to go home. Just you come home with me today. And the Lord took him up to heaven. He was translated. He went to heaven without passing through the valley of the shadow. And it says that after that translation, he was not found. What that means is they missed him. They went looking for him. And isn't it true, there are some people, you really miss them when they're gone. That's the sort of man that Enoch was. When his life on earth suddenly came to a close, people were saddened. They missed the man. They sent out search parties to try and find him. Some people, you really miss them when they're gone from this scene of time. Because you know that things will never be the same again. Never be the same in your life. Never be the same in your community. Never be the same in the church, because that person's example and influence will no longer be amongst you. That's the sort of man that Enoch was. That's the sort of mark that his life and walk left upon the people of his day. And I say to you as I finish, if you want to be missed when you die, well, you don't need to be rich, and you don't need to be famous, and you don't need to do something sensational. You just need to be a brother or a sister that was like Enoch and walk with God every day of your life. The text says Enoch walked with God. So simple a statement, brethren and sisters. So simple. But yet what an attainment. What an attainment for a child of God. The greatest walk in life. I pray that God will give it to each one of his people here in days that are yet to come.